Right, so I'm going to share this morning on a topic that's really been close to my heart. I said to Richard when we came back in January, already, I've got this topic on my heart, and that is abiding in Jesus. So, where's Chris? What chapter is that? John chapter 15. Chris knows it. I'm the true vine. I told Shaul this morning I'm doing John chapter 15, and he said, not John chapter 14. And then Charles quoted out of John 14, so maybe it should have been John 14. But abiding really means remaining in Jesus, really plugging into Jesus. And we're going to read John 15 now. But the topic, for those of you who like to have headings, the topic is abide, listen, and love. So as we go through John chapter 15, you'll see we hit those three topics that Jesus speaks to us. He says, abide in me, listen to me, and love me, love others. So that is the topic for today. So I'm just going to work through John chapter 15, say, what is Jesus actually saying to us? But then more importantly, how do we respond to that? Often we read stuff in the Bible, we read in the text, and then how do we actually respond to that? So if we can put up John chapter 15. Selena. I am the true vine. So this is the last of the I am statements. Jesus has got a whole lot of I am statements in the Bible. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. If you just go back to that one. Have you noticed that before? Have you read that before? That it's not just the dead branches that get pruned, but the branches that actually bear fruit. So we'll get into that a bit later. But I couldn't help during worship looking up at Monty up there, the Beaumont lion, and he's holding a vine with fruit on. It's almost like the lion has pruned the vine that's got fruit. So, different picture, but that's what God showed me during worship. You've already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request and it will be granted. So I'm going to pause there. I'll get back to that one, Anina. So that term abiding, and in Afrikaans it's probably bly or rus, but probably more bly than rus. God really wants us to be with him and abiding in him, and not just sort of, you know, he's there and we can access him when we need him, but having that relationship, that deeper relationship. And I think George summed it up nicely recently where he says, you know, for many years he's been studying God and he knows a lot about God, but now he's really getting to know God. And don't you find that sometimes with celebrities? So maybe Cheslin Kolbe became a favorite of yours over the last two World Cups. And now you watch every try and you watched him propose to his wife and you watch all the interviews and all the big tackles that he puts in on the big forwards, and you get to a point like you feel like you actually know him. So you go up to him at the stadium and you say, Cheslin, my man, how are you doing? And he will be very gracious and he'll shake your hand and chat to you, but he doesn't know you and you don't know him. And are we like that with Jesus, where we read a lot about him and we come to church and we hear a lot about Jesus, but we're getting to know about him, but we don't really know him. And that's what Jesus wants when he speaks to us in John chapter 15. Abide in me. Really get to know me. And that's what we want for every single one of us, is that we have that relationship where we trusting in God, where we're seeking God, where we're believing in God, we're believing for what that he's got the best for us. So are we really abiding? So if we get to it's a lovely picture that Jesus gives, and he gives such fantastic metaphors throughout the Bible, you know, with trees and fruit and branches and heads and bodies and body parts. And the tree is such a fantastic example, or the vine, because look at the branch on its own. It's absolutely useless on its own, the branch. It has to be part of the vine or part of the tree for it to actually have life in it. So the branch itself, without the tree or without the vine, has got no life. It cannot bear fruit if it's not attached to the vine. So think of a branch that might be resting on the tree. So if we walk past a tree and one of the branches is broken off, but it's just broken off recently, so it's resting within the tree, to us it actually looks like it's still part of the tree, but it's not. And slowly it will start to wither and die because it's not attached. So that sounds very morbid, but it will die eventually because it's not grafted into the tree or the vine. That can happen with us. If we get severed off, in the beginning we're still hanging there in the tree. So we might be hanging out here with Christians. It looks like we're a Christian. It looks like we're part of the flock. But we've broken off from the vine. We're just hanging in there. And slowly we will wither. And we're not going to produce fruit because we're not grafted into the vine. Does that make sense? So let's think of an example in the Bible. Look at Peter and Judas. Both called by Jesus. Both walked with Jesus. Both listened to his teaching. Perhaps both did miracles as well. We can look at Matthew 10 verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. So we don't see a specific example of Judas doing miracles, but if you read this where they were originally called, they were all going out together and doing miracles. So it's quite possible that Judas, Peter, everybody was out there doing miracles. So what happened along the way? What happened that Peter was still there in the end and Judas betrayed Jesus and then hung himself? At some point, the branch came loose from that tree. At some point, the life went out of him. The fruit stopped being produced. He started producing bad fruit and he withered and died. But Peter finished strong. And it's so sad if we see. Sometimes you can, I mean, Richard's been in ministry for 42 years, probably been saved for 50. We see people, they can walk this long journey, but they don't finish strong. That's the important part. Where are you at the end? Are you at the finish line? Other people join the finish line or join the race late in life and make the finish line, but you could see somebody gets disillusioned along the way. Maybe because he trusted in the church or trusted in man instead of trusting in Jesus. And he breaks himself off from the vine and withers and dies. Let's not be those people. We want to be the ones that finish strong. We want to be attached to the vine. We want to be getting our life from the vine, producing good fruit. That's who we want to be. It's almost like I said earlier, the body. So the body without a head. Picture the body without a head. It's not going to survive. Jesus is our head. It's the same picture as the tree with the branches or the vine with the branches. We can't have a body without the head. So we are all the body parts. It's a beautiful picture again in the Bible in Corinthians of how we all work together. We a hand or a finger or a toe or a bicep, whatever it might be. So we're all different, but we need the head. We need to be under Jesus' headship. Right, then we get on to the pruning. So I alluded to it earlier. So I think we can all understand the concept that, you know, if we've got a branch that's not producing, God's going to cut that off. And then hopefully a healthy branch will grow. But why does he cut off branches that are producing fruit? Because he wants us to do even better. So we're producing this fruit and we think we're doing well. God says, no, I've got so much more for you. You can do so much more than what you're producing there. And he prunes that branch off and we can sprout and produce even more fruit. And pruning is painful. It hurts. It's not nice to be pruned. Sometimes God will prune us directly, but sometimes he will use other people. And we think, yes, Richard's like on my case here because of X, Y, Z. God is using his hands here on earth to prune us. And we do that as a church. We prune each other. God uses us to work each other and improve each other. And so we just produce better and better and more fruit by being pruned. But we've got to cut off the dead branches and cut off those branches that are producing insufficient. God has always got so much more for us than we can imagine. We look at who we are now. We look at our limitation. And God just sees the potential. He knows what he created us for. He knows what he can do with us. And he sees the absolute potential in us. Think of a silversmith. I don't know if you've ever seen a silversmith or a goldsmith busy working the metal and sticking it into the fire, forging it in the fire. And if you stand and watch them, you'll think, well, geez, that silver looks perfect now. And you keep sticking it in. And 20 minutes later, you think, jeepers, this guy's overdoing it now. But he's got a trained eye, and he can see the little blemishes or little spots on that silver that he's trained to see. And God does that with us as well. We think, yes, you know, I think I'm doing okay now, you know. I'm not beating my wife. I'm not kicking the dog. I'm getting to work on time. I think I'm doing okay. God's like, no, I expect so much more of you than that. I'm going to stick you in the fire. I want you to get rid of these blemishes. I want you to improve. I want you to be such a better version of yourself. And then he looks in the silver and he says, now I can see myself. Now I can see myself in this person. This is what I want. And is that what we want? Do we want God to be proud of us, that he takes us out the fire and says, right, they're now ready to go and do my work. So abiding was the first point. Listening is the second point, which is maybe more challenging for us. And you know, we always tell little children, God gave you two ears, so you must listen more than you talk. So if we can go to verse 7, please. My true disciples, but if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. Carry on. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. So Jesus says, let my words remain in you. So Jesus doesn't want us to just read the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible. He wants those words to dwell in us. He wants those words to own our heart. He wants those words to be on our lips when we come across other people. Sometimes we need to encourage people or even rebuke people or instruct people. We'll just give people a word of hope. We can't do that if we don't have Jesus' words embedded in us. So he says, remain in my words. Listen to my words. So listening is difficult and being obedient is difficult, isn't it? So God tells us to do something and we think, it's a little bit beyond me, or I'll get to it. We've got a 22-year-old son who's missing now. So we know that I'll get to it phrase. But God doesn't want us to say, I'll get to it. God wants us to be obedient in the moment. When you're standing in that checkers queue and God says, pray for the cashier or pay for the old lady's goods, it's not like I'll get to it. Let's do it then, right? So often God speaks to us and he wants us to be obedient in the moment. Are we obedient in the moment? Are we listening to him and letting his words settle into our hearts? If we can put up 2 John 1 verse 9. For if you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will not have fellowship with God. But if you continue in the teaching of Christ, you will have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. But if you continue, we want to be those people again, that are people that are obedient and people that are finishing strong, not people that are falling off and forgetting what we learned and falling away from the word. We want to be living with those words in our heart. And it is difficult. You know that there's 5 types of fish that can swim upstream. Most famous one being salmon, yes. So the salmon, they swim upstream, and that's almost like us as Christians. It's very difficult swimming against the tide because the world is just coming at you. And the faster you swim, the more you've got this water in your face. We hear about guys that have left the church, and they're like, oh, you know, life is just so good now. You know why? Because they've turned around and now they're floating with the stream. Have you ever done that where you just float with the river? It's quite lekker. But it's not what we're called to do. We grew up with one of those little round porta pools, those blue ones with the wire. And you make a lekker whirlpool in there and then you let the water carry you around. And it's quite lekker to be carried by the water. But if in the river of life, if you're feeling comfortable, you're feeling like the river's carrying you, then you're a dead salmon. It's only when the salmon dies, actually, that it's being carried by the river. The real salmon, the live salmon, he's fighting the current. He's swimming upstream. He's called to be different. We are called to be different. We're called to swim upstream, be different to the world. If your life is feeling easy, you're probably dead and you're floating down the river. So let's be different. And then Jesus talks quite a lot about the fruit, that we want to produce good fruit. So we had a guy, we used to lead a community back in Edgemead. And the one guy said to me, "You're always talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but isn't it the fruit?" And he challenged me in that, because it's almost like a collective. So Galatians 5:22, did I give you that scripture? It's a very well-known scripture. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. And those, we know those fruit well. But it's for that moment, you open my eyes to the fact that the fruit is like a collective, like a basket of fruit. So you can't pick and choose. If you can just put it back up again, please. You can't say, "Well, I'm good with most of them, but count me out for patience." That's not good. God made me to be a driver, and I'm a manager at work. I've got to get things done, so patience is not on my list. We are called to that whole basket of fruit. All that fruit should be displayed. So challenge yourself. Look, there's probably one there that's making you feel a little bit uncomfortable in your chair. So have a look at the basket of fruit and say, which one am I struggling on? Where must I improve? Because God really wants us to display the full fruit of the Spirit. The other thing with the branches is the branches of a tree never compare with each other. You never see an apple tree with a one branch saying, "Yes, I see that oak's got three this morning. I'm still on two. I better catch up a bit." So we should not be comparing with each other. God specifically gave us different skills, different personalities. It would be terrible if we were all the same as, I won't pick someone, as me. Imagine a whole lot of me. It would be very structured, but that might stop there, yeah. So, and a lot of smiling. But we are called, we're all different. We're given different personalities, different gifts, different fruit. And we must celebrate with each other. "Morne, I see you've grown another apple. Well done." We celebrate with you. You know, in business, we always say, raise up people under you that can actually go past you. And that's what we want for everybody here. We want everybody here to be actually going beyond us in Christ. Not to say, "Well, you stay there so that we can, we are the men of God." We want everybody to be chasing after God, everybody going beyond us. Like Ryan, yeah. Yeah, Joy just reminded me of an example. So there was this couple sort of hanging around at church, and we said, "Well, we've got a kids' church camp that we're going to run. Come along just as the camp mom and dad. All you have to do there is just hug the kids, put a plaster on, wipe away tears, whatever's needed." They then went on to join kids' church and then run kids' church, go and train other kids' church. Now they're running the Durbanville congregation in RGS. So, and that's what you want. You want people going beyond you. And it was just like a little prompt to say, "Why don't you do this?" Not knowing that they're going to now be full-time and running a congregation. And that's how God works. Okay, and then the third one is love. If we can go back to John 15, verse 9. "I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." That 9. "I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends." So, abide, listen, and love. And God's love, we can only love because God loves us. And we love God. We show our love to God by being obedient to Him. And as we love God, we really learn to love each other. And it's only God's love that we can experience, that we have this incredible love for each other. We move from congregations. So, you know, we moved here from Edgemead 3 years ago. And now we feel like we love you guys, like real family. We are family. But it's just a love that the world doesn't understand. Now, Hammond and Karina will move on to Amanus and Charles. I didn't hear where Charles was going, but I think one of the Cape Town congregations. And they will get love there, and they will feel like they've always been part of it. And we are so close with so many of you. Yeah. It's just God's love that comes through us. And Izal felt at the prayer meeting this morning, just that we, and I might get it wrong, I might paraphrase a bit, but that whatever God gives us, whether it be riches or love, that should be going out to the others. And I had a picture, as she was saying that, of not being a bucket. We mustn't be a bucket that just collects God's love and sit on our couch with our Bible and we just feel so wonderful because we're loved by God. But we should be like a hose pipe where that water is just flowing through. So whatever love God gives to us, we just flow through and it just sprays over everybody else. And whatever gifts He gives us, the same. Whatever gifts we just use for the body, resources, money, transport, you know, we just use it for the body. We just spread God's love. And that's what He wants for us. He doesn't want us to hang on. He loves us so much, but He wants us to radiate that and share that with each other. If you can put up that first slide, please. Okay, so those are the three themes that we've seen now in John 15, abide, listen, and love. I just want to bring those together and say, who's it for? Is that not just for the elders or the leaders? Or who is it for? You can put up the second slide. It's for all of us. And that's how I want to just close with this, to say, this is for every single one of us. And this is where most churches get it wrong, unfortunately. Or most Christians, not church, most Christians are getting it wrong, where they think Richard is now a full-time elder. He must study the word. He must seek God. He must abide. He must listen. And when I come on Sunday, he must love me. I want to come here and I want to feel loved. And he must impart this wisdom to me so I can go home and feel less guilty about my life. And I can feel good. I can feel good until Saturday. And if I'm struggling halfway, I'll go to community. But hopefully I can make it to next Sunday. That's the wrong picture of church. The picture that Jesus wants for us, that every single one of us are living John 15. We're all seeking him. We're all listening and obeying. We're all loving each other. And that's what he wants for us. If we can, I just got two scriptures on that. 1 Corinthians 12. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. How many times did we see the word all there? Quite a few times. And we often use that analogy. Joy kicked her toe last night. We're busy moving her parents into Somerset West. Joy kicked one of her toes on something, and the whole body goes, the whole body knows about it. The whole body suffers, and that's what Jesus says here. And that's how we want to be. We want to be all in this together, all of us. So we say in Josh Jen, there's no corners that you can hide in, because we will come and find you. Because we want, the commission from Jesus is that all of us do this together. All of us run the race. All of us cross the finish line together. We don't run across boasting and we've left our team behind. Remember that for the Warrior Challenge, guys. Don't leave me behind. So far, we've got 24 men doing the Warrior Challenge in April. And I think if there's a high, I said to the guys, if there's a high fence to get over, then don't leave me behind. There's a lot to lift. Where was I? We're all in this together, yeah. So we're all crossing the finish line together. We don't want to leave anyone behind. And then the last scripture, Philippians 1, 23 to 25. I'm torn between, I put verse 23 and 24 just to give context to what Paul is saying here. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me. But it is better for you that I live. I'm convinced of this, so I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. I thought that translation had the word all in it, but that's what I'm missing there. But in some of the translations, Paul says, I'm doing this so that I can get to all of you. And again, he's stressing the all. So that is really what I want to land with, is to say this abiding, listening, obeying, loving, it's not just for the leaders, and the leaders aren't going to drag you over the line. We want to see you sprinting. We want to see you, every single one of us together, running over the line, arm in arm, big smiles on our faces, but finishing strong and finishing the race together. Amen. Yeah, so let's, maybe before I pray into it, maybe just a bit more on how we respond to that. So just let's close our eyes together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit just to minister to us in this moment. I think each of us are strong in areas and each of us are weak in certain areas. So I, for instance, am stronger in worship and getting into the Word than I am in prayer. So I know I need to give more attention to prayer. Joy is strong in prayer and the Word, but a little bit weaker in worship. So she knows that's an area that she needs to focus on. So just ask the Holy Spirit just to highlight to you now, what are the areas that I need to focus on where I'm missing the mark, and as a result, I'm not really abiding? Am I getting into the Word enough? We need those words of Jesus to wash over us. We need to hear those words. We need those words to penetrate our heart and remain in our heart. We need to be praying. We need to build up that relationship. How do we get to know God if we're not seeking Him in prayer? We're going to have a Cheslin Colby relationship. We're not going to know God if we're not praying to Him. And are we worshiping Him as the King of Kings? Are we really getting into a time of worship in our own space, as we're in the car, when we're with the family? Are we worshiping Him as King of our lives? Are we sacrificing for others? Is that maybe an area that we can improve in? Are we really sacrificing as brothers and sisters of Christ? Or are we just living in our little protective bubble? And are we serving? Are we serving the body? So think of these five areas: worship, prayer, the Word, service, sacrifice. Where is it that the Holy Spirit is challenging you to improve this morning?